Your life is precious. This is it. You've got one shot at this. But is there a sense on the inside that you're capable of so much more? If so, the Missing Secret podcast is for you. The book Think and Grow Rich has been read by over 150 million people. It's the top book in the world on success by a factor of 10. In the book, it says there's a secret for success, but the author only gives us half the secret.
When I turned 50, I figured out the full secret, the missing secret, and developed a 12-minute-a-day technique to apply it. And it caused my income to go up by 25 times over the $200,000 to $300,000 a year I was making in the prior 20 years. I felt so blessed.
When John taught me the missing secret, it changed my life, doubling my income and dramatically impacting my health, relationships, and quality of life.
Today, most people are just winging life. They don't have anything pulling them forward to their desired life.
Leverage yourself through science. It takes 12 minutes a day. Watch what happens.
Welcome to the Missing Secret Podcast. I'm Kelly Hatfield.
Hey, and I'm John Mitchell. So our topic today is, you're the problem, but you're also the solution. And really the second part of that, you're the solution, is especially true if you use our 12-minute-a-day methodology. And so, Kelly, can you think of maybe something in your recent past where you were both the problem and you were the solution?
Yes. Well, right off the top of my head, related to business.
Right.
And there is something recently. So, and when we say too, like, I'm the problem and I'm also the solution, you know, it goes back to, and I know we talked about this in our last episode of like that radical accountability and, you know, wherever you are in life, in business, you have to accept the onus and the responsibility for that. There are all kinds of external factors that part play into, but like ultimately the buck stops with you. And so framing this a little bit then. So related to my companies, I have a recruiting firm. We've been in business for 16 years and, you know, we're really in a place where we had hit a ceiling. Like we were struggling to kind of get to the next level. We were having some just internal team, you know, kind of issues with team and, you know, again, recognizing and being self-aware enough that, you know, and we've had a lot of success, you know, but getting to that next level again has proven to be the challenge, that next level. And so right. Recognizing and having the self-awareness that as a leader, I don't know what I don't know, you know, and so obviously, if I'm looking at numbers, I'm looking at the trends, and does it make any sense to continue doing the same thing and, you know, expect a different result? No, I think we've all know that's the definition of insanity. You know,
right.
Like recognizing and being like, okay, I need to go and talk to someone. I need to find a mentor. I need to find somebody who is where I want to go next. And so through that process, I signed our team up for some training, you know, for some higher level training. And then through that, met a mentor who introduced me to a firm owner who, you know, is doing eight figures, you know, which is where we want to go next. And he is amazing. We went to his office, visited his office, he opened up his business to us with all of the different tools that they're utilizing, how he's managing the team, the standards he's holding them to, the comp plan, and just recognizing like, oh, you know, like I've set this up in a way, starting with even the compensation plan.
Right.
Not helping me hire the right type of folks to have the kind of success that you can have in the recruiting space, because you can have a tremendous amount of success in the recruiting space from a financial standpoint as an employee. And so anyway, that's a perfect example of recognizing that like, okay, I'm not happy with where the business is right now. Like I want it to keep moving forward and it just feels stuck, you know? So, okay, that takes some humility to be able to recognize, like, I know I for whatever reason, I don't have what I need to take it to the next level. And I know that because I keep hitting my head against this wall and it's not working. The things that I think might work aren't. And so it's recognizing that then and through the counsel of people, you know, who are where I want to take the company next, I don't have to reinvent the wheel. You know, and so anyway, that's a recent example for me of where I identified that I'm the problem and then also that I'm also the solution.
Well, I think that's a great example. And let's unpack that a little. So as successful as a company is, you created the problem. Let's call the company is the problem. Even though it's successful, it's a problem because it's not as successful as you wanted it to be. Mm-hmm. So your company is a reflection of what you created. So you created the problem.
Yeah.
Then, as is always the case, you didn't have the solution because, like you said, you didn't know what you didn't know. Well, that's true of all of us. I mean, once you establish, oh, here's a problem, and you can't figure out the solution yourself, then the solution has to come from outside of you. Well, you, and sometimes that outside solution takes a little bit of navigating to find that right person. Like you took, did you say you guys took some seminars and that led to this person?
Yep, exactly.
Well, so, okay. So then you find someone that looks at it differently than you do, and they're already having a higher level of success. And then you start looking at the compensation package, which is really a reflection of hiring the right people, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I think that the power of this is it's a perfect example of you're the problem and you're the solution. And I see for all of us that we all have to figure out our life. Nobody is going to figure it out for us. And I see this all the time. I saw this in my reverse mortgage business. I see it in the Think It Be It business, that nobody's going to figure out your business for you. It's on you to figure it out. Now, as I alluded to at the opening, that when you do this 12-minute a day methodology, it really facilitates figuring out the solution because you are articulating how your business should run. And you're reading that every day. And so you're really fine-tuning your perceived solution. And if it doesn't work to your satisfaction, then you can go, oh, okay, then what is reality telling me? And that may largely happen from doing thinking two times a week. Those thinking sessions is how you figure out your business. It's also when you tune into reality and tell yourself, oh, this isn't working. And so I just see this constant dance between the conscious mind and the subconscious mind in this process of figuring out the problem and the solution, right?
Absolutely. And it's so funny, John, that you brought up the thinking time, because that is how that was the catalyst for moving the ball forward on all this. It was recognizing and asking myself the questions, thinking that through and being like, okay, here's the, you know, whether it was kind of what's actually happening within the company. Why is, you know, like, so I'm jotting everything down that's inside my head. And I'm like, okay, one of the possible solutions would be we need to bring in to skill up the recruiters that we do have. So let me, then what's the action I need to take? I need to research and find out those people that are the best at what they do and get some training for the team, you know, and then we get that training for the team. We implement it. Things start to shift. There definitely is a shift that's taking place. And people, and I lost some team members who also too were like, oh, you know, we don't actually want to be accountable. So we're out.
Right.
There were some different things that happened, you know, and then through those thinking sessions, it was like, okay, well, what's next? Now I need to level up within this new business model. You know, and we need to look at somebody, an organization that has done this successfully for a long time. And what are the things that they're doing that we're not, or that where are we off by a degree or two that are going to make a huge difference and move the needle in the business? And so like all of this happened as a result of the thinking sessions and then my actions that I was going to take after those thinking sessions to move the ball forward. You know, and so like you bringing that up, I mean, that was the process. And I did those thinking sessions because it's in my visualization and it's a commitment I've made to myself that I do these thinking sessions. Whereas before, you know, 7 years ago, before you and I met, you know, I wasn't doing these sessions. Like,
yeah,
a whole different person, business leader, everything because of the thinking sessions.
Yeah.
So anyway, that was my process and how I came to recognize I'm the problem. The company
right.
not where I want it to be, which means I'm the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And then having the, again, this is, we've talked about this in several prior, I think even last week, which is having the self-awareness, you know, and the humility to be able to say, like, I'm not ashamed to say that. I'm like, okay, well, then that just means that's easy then. If I'm the problem, then I can, you know what I mean? And so
it's you have such a sense of control when you're the problem because you're obviously also the solution.
Yeah.
And I think what you went through is such a lesson for our listeners to see that process and really embrace that you're the problem and you're the solution. And I'll tell you something that you'd find interesting. So I think I've mentioned this to you. I'm getting into the Lamborghini and Ferrari rental business. Mm-hmm. And so this is pretty fun. And it's sort of happened from back in, I've been thinking about getting a Lamborghini for a couple of years. And I'm like, do I really want to do that? There's obviously better uses of the money that we could do good in the world. And so I'm like, I don't know if I want to do it or not do it. But I ended up renting a Lamborghini back in November for my birthday. So I meet this guy that is a former football player, played in the NFL. He's like 36 years old and sharp as a tack. I mean, this guy is, he is sharp as a tack. He's a big black guy that is just a really good looking guy, well-spoken. And so he had a Lamborghini and a Ferrari. And so I rent the Lamborghini and he and I just instantly hit it off. And ultimately I go to him and I say, I'm interested in buying your Lamborghini. And so we get to know each other better. And he says, would you mentor me to be an entrepreneur? Now keep in mind, he's currently making $900,000 a year as a salesman in the roofing business.
Okay.
And I was telling him, I'm like, that is great, but you have the ability because your strength is selling, which is the core talent an entrepreneur must have. You're destined to be an entrepreneur. And if you're making $900,000 a year as an employee, think what the owners are making in your business. And he says, yeah, I've been thinking about this very thing. So I'm on the path to sort of taking that business, that Ferrari and Lamborghini business off his shoulders, because I have another friend who's 29 years old that's actually the son of the women's basketball coach here at UT. He's got all the hustle, and because you know, I don't want to deal with the people, but
totally.
you know, I'd be a problem. When you talk about a problem, the solution, I'd be a problem. But anyway, so it's just a confluence of this is going to work. I want a Lamborghini. I've figured out how to do it so it won't cost me money. It'll actually make us money. But one of the things that sort of came out of it was the kid that's 29 years old is also in the roofing business, ironically. He's on the commercial side and Brian is in the residential side. And so with the 29-year-old's business, they don't systemize it at all. No scripts, the salespeople just wing it, and that's how they do it. And they're a pretty big company. But the guy with the Lamborghini, his company is a $1 billion company, and they systemize the hell out of everything. And so it's just interesting how, when you look at how people do businesses, they're all operating at different levels of enlightenment. And what you did was the classic thing. Go talk to people at the next level from you. Somehow figure out who they are, where they are. And the great thing about people is they'll help you. People want to help you if you are respectful of what they've accomplished. And as I'm sure you were, the guy probably couldn't do enough for you, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. No, absolutely. I think that, one of the main things that I recognize, and Monty, that's my mentor in this, has said this to me too. He's like, he gives a lot out, mentoring and working with someone. And I think the difference is implement. Do the, don't just go, it's like reading a book, and then not actually doing anything that you learn. And, looking for growth and personal development, reading it and thinking it's all going to change for you by osmosis. Like it's implement it, take action, and that's the biggest gift that you can give somebody who's mentoring you is
right.
Implementing and working whatever they've shared with you that makes sense within your organization. Cause I'm already, reporting back to Monty and saying, hey, this and this is happening. Like, this is a game changer, and that feels good as a mentor. So they're not just wasting their time, and now we've got collaborations going together. Cause I'm like, well, how can I support you? What are your goals personally or professionally? What introductions can I make for you? So there's a reciprocity that's taking place too. And so,
That's another great lesson is how to be a great mentee.
Yeah.
And so report back to them that I tried this and this happened and look at how you can help them. I mean, classic example of how to be a good mentee causes the mentor to want to help you even more.
Exactly.
So this idea of you're the problem and your solution, I think back on examples in health. A lot of people are overweight and want to lose weight. Well, come on, you're the problem. You're also the solution. And some people go, well, I don't know, the weight is not always just something I control. There's hormones. I'm like, shut up. Most of the time, it's you. 98% of the time, it's you. So this idea that, oh, I can't do it, or no, you're the problem. The problem is you're not eating what you're supposed to be eating and you're not exercising. So that's the problem and you control that. Although I will say that if you're not doing our methodology, that intention to eat well and that intention to exercise stays an intention if you're not influencing the doing part of you. And I see how powerful if you're feeding to yourself, here's my specific plan on eating and here's my specific plan on exercising, and you're feeding that to yourself every day, well, those intentions turn into reality. And I just had someone who did Think It Be It lose 140 pounds, but they were the problem and they were the solution. And I think the same applies to people's marriages. Oftentimes, it's not like they want it, and so they're muddling through. Well, again, you're the problem and you're the solution. And you might be the problem because of what you're putting up with. If you're accepting behavior that isn't satisfactory to you, then you're the problem. Not the person that's doing the behavior, but your acceptance of that behavior is the problem, right?
100%. And I would also say too that, anytime I'm examining anything, so whether it's relationship related,
right?
This goes back to being, again, self-aware and I think brutally honest and accepting that accountability, which is, can I honestly say that I showed up as the best version of myself in this situation? Because, we talked about this, the energy you put into a situation is the energy you get back out.
Right.
I know that a lot of times people, if they're honest, will with themselves will be like, ugh, you know, like, to John, with related to health, I want to go back to you mentioned hormone or whatever that excuse is. Well, specifically, if we're talking about hormones, though, that still is something like getting the knowledge that it is a hormone-related issue and then doing the things necessary to get those things aligned, because we live in a time where you can do that now. You can get HRT, you know, hormone replacement therapy.
Right.
You know, so like there are all kinds of solutions out there for different health things. And then I would say, too, for somebody who's going through something difficult, like has cancer or something, understanding that you're going, set the expectations correctly for yourself too, that like right now I'm going through this and my goal, you know, is to set myself up for optimal health. So I'm going to nourish my body. Well, I'm not going to focus on losing weight right now. I'm going to focus on the things that are going to help me progress in a positive way for a good outcome with this illness. So I think, again, when we're thinking about, you could have cancer, you could have hormone issues, you could have, but the way in which you decide to approach, or that is, you are responsible. Your reaction to whatever the circumstances are is in your control. It is your, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, and you're a great example of, because you're enlightened and self-aware, you just know who you are is, you're first looking at yourself as what did I contribute to this problem? And you're also very tuned in to reality. And that's happening largely from your thinking sessions. Well, those two concepts are beyond the level of maturity or enlightenment of a lot of people. Because I look back on my life and I see how sort of unenlightened I have been in the past and how I got more enlightened by learning things like I just mentioned with you, and all of a sudden, wow, I start operating at that higher level and life is better. Well, that's the beauty of this 12-minute a day technique. Whatever you want to create in a higher level of enlightenment that maybe is higher than where you've been in the past, you just put it in your visualization and read it every day. And guess what? That's who you become in a very short period of time. I mean, it's amazingly simple.
It is amazingly simple. And for those two, John, people who have identified maybe they do fall into the victim mindset, you know, because that is something natural. We're wired that way to point the finger and, oh, it's
right. Wrong. Yeah.
You know, that is one of the things you can build into your visualization.
Yeah.
You are somebody who is highly accountable, you know, and you begin to take on that identity then. It's a tool to train yourself out of. Again, a victim type of mentality.
Well, and when I created the AI algorithm, as it turns out, about 60% of the template is boilerplate and 40% is customized to the person. And so much of this I've already built into the boilerplate of it. I have a specific couple lines about I'm never a victim, that type of thing. I'm tuning into reality. And all these things are things that took me a long time to learn. I don't know that I ever was a victim. I never was that, but I didn't always tune into reality and I didn't understand how to do that and how critical it is. Another thing that I find interesting is how powerful this idea of deep thinking is. And of course, this is a habit, as I've said before, that all the top entrepreneurs do. But I also look at it in comparison to teaching people think it be it. So the feeding of the succinct articulation of your desired life to yourself each day. I look at how do people take that and how do people take this idea of deep thinking two times a week. Now, keep in mind, doing the succinct articulation of your life takes more work because you've got to create the clarity of that. And there's more work to it, but not all that much more work. And I'm through the algorithm, we do most of the work for you. But the other one, deep thinking, you can start tomorrow doing it. And so it's interesting though, when I look at those two things, because I'm so closely tied to feeding the succinct articulation of my life, I'm not quite as subjective about people not doing that as I am about deep thinking. And I'm like, if I ever suggest that to someone and they reject it, I'm like, really? So you don't think it's a good idea to step back from your life 2 times a week and deep think? I have zero patience with that level of unenlightenment. Now, on the other hand, if they don't want to feed the succinct articulation of their desired life, I also think that's very unenlightened. But I'm, because it's a little more personal, I'm not quite as, blunt and ready to condemn them. But I have no problem condemning them if they're not freaking smart enough to step back and think 2 times a week. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah. No, it makes total sense. Yeah. And I would agree with you wholeheartedly that, the methodology actually, obviously was the catalyst because I needed that to build the habit of thinking
right
twice a week. But that habit of thinking twice a week and I've added it. It's a daily practice for me because it just really helps organize my head too.
Right.
It's a real stress reliever for me. But that has been the biggest game changer of everything has been the thinking time because I wasn't doing that before. I didn't know how to do it as we talked about before where
right.
I struggled with it,
Right.
And so anyway, I love it.
Well, and I see that thinking 2 times a week or deep thinking 2 times a week is really the entry point for proactively manipulating the subconscious mind. I mean, it truly is the starting point. And as I was teaching this, the first time I taught it, I'm like, well, if people don't do the 12-minute a day technique, if they come away with the thinking, then that'll be good. That'll be acceptable, not good, but it'd be acceptable. But now I'm like, come on, just up your game. I'm not going to dumb down what I've got. Just up your game. Let's go. And if you want to play at the high level, I'll play with you. You don't want to play at the high level? No problem. I'm not going to worry about you. But
yeah,
I don't. It's interesting how it evolves a bit.
Yeah. So. No, absolutely.
Okay, well, I can't think of any more brilliance to come up with. I'm sure we had any brilliance today, but until next time, we'll work on getting more brilliance. We'll see you.
Thank you for listening to the Missing Secret Podcast. If you'd like to learn more about this 12-minute a day technique that gives you control over your life beyond what you've ever experienced before, visit themissingsecret.org. That's themissingsecret.org. Sign up for a free video that reveals the full secret of Think and Grow Rich and purchase John's book, The Missing Secret. Until next time, be the exception. Work smarter, not harder, by leveraging yourself through science. It takes 12 minutes a day.